אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום אוסטרליה. Former Supreme Court President Meir Shamgar, one of the giants of the Israeli judiciary, died on Friday. He was 94. Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit hailed him as one of the country's most important and respected jurists. Shamgar was born in 1925 in Danzig, now Gdansk, in Poland, and moved to the British Mandate of Palestine in 1939. He served in the pre-state Palmach and then the Irgun, and was arrested for anti-British activity and sent to a detention center in Eritrea, and then served in the IDF during the 1948 War of Independence. He served as Attorney General from 1968 to 75, and before that was Military Advocate General. As the military's chief legal officer, Shamgar laid the groundwork for the legal infrastructure of Israel's occupation of the West Bank and Gaza after the 1967 war. As Attorney General, he made the landmark decision to allow Palestinians in these areas to appeal directly to the Supreme Court. Shamgar joined Israel's top court in 1975 and 8 years later took over as Chief Justice, a position he held for 12 years until 1995. One of his most important rulings was in 1995 when he anchored the court's right to conduct judicial reviews of Knesset legislation and review whether laws conform with the quasi-constitutional basic law, human dignity and liberty. In addition to a number of influential rulings while on the court, Shamgar also headed several official commissions of inquiry, including into the 1995 assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and the 1994 Cave of the Patriarchs massacre. He also headed the Shamgar Commission, which in 2012 opposed mass prisoner exchanges, such as the 2011 deal with Palestinian group Hamas for captured IDF soldier Gilad Shalit. He was granted the Israel Prize for Lifetime Achievement and Special Contribution to Society in 1996. Prime Minister Netanyahu expressed deep sorrow at Shamgar's death, mourning him as one of the great jurists in the State of Israel. President Reuven Rivlin hailed Shamgar as one of the founding fathers of the Israeli legal system. Shamgar's casket will lie in state on Tuesday morning in the Supreme Court before his burial that afternoon at Jerusalem's Givat Shaul Cemetery. Prime Minister Netanyahu must form a coalition by Thursday or inform President Reuven Rivlin that he's failed to do so. The president could grant him a 14-day extension, but is unlikely to do so, as the prospects of the prime minister, who heads a 55-strong bloc, making further progress in the current gridlock is seen as slim. Kahol Levan leader Benny Gantz is reportedly planning to invite representatives of Yisrael Beiteinu and Likud to talks on forming a unity government if he is tasked with forming a coalition on Thursday. Gantz does not expect Likud to show up, which he hopes will open the door for Yisrael Beiteinu's Avigdor Lieberman to let him form a minority government. Lieberman would be able to say that one side, Gantz's Kahol Levan, had accepted his blueprint for a unity government, while the other, Likud, had not. Gantz would then aim to form a minority government that would secure a Knesset majority with the backing from outside the coalition of Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu and the joint list of Arab parties. The family of Naamai Zachar, an Israeli woman imprisoned in Russia on drug charges, on Friday met with Justice Minister Amir Ohana to ask him to hold off extraditing a Russian hacker whose detention is believed to be central to the case. Zachar, 26, was sentenced last week to 7.5 years in prison by a Russian court for allegedly drug smuggling. She has been detained in Russia since April when 10 grams of marijuana were found in her bag during a stopover in Moscow while flying to Israel from India. The heavy sentence, which Israeli officials have condemned as disproportionate, has been linked to the pending extradition of Alexei Berkov, who was arrested in Israel in 2015 at the request of Interpol. Israeli security guards shot and killed a knife-wielding Palestinian man who ran towards them at a checkpoint near Tukaram on Friday. Guards at the Tayanim checkpoint called on the man, who was holding a knife, to stop and shot him when he did not respond. Over 4,000 Palestinian demonstrators took part in weekly protests on Friday along the border between Gaza and Israel, with several hundred rioting and clashing with Israeli troops. Rioters threw rocks and explosive devices at troops who responded with tear gas and live fire. 48 Palestinians were wounded. Hundreds of Palestinians clashed with settlers and Israeli security forces on Thursday in the central West Bank. Palestinian activist groups had organized a protest march from the village of Turmas Aya towards a hilltop referred to by settlers as Geulat Zion. Israelis have illegally erected structures there in an attempt to establish an outpost over a dozen times in recent years, but security forces have intervened each time. Earlier this month, several new structures were established, sparking the ire of Palestinians who once owned the land that was seized by the state for security reasons. A border police officer was lightly injured in the clashes, in which Israelis and Palestinians hurled stones at each other and at security forces. Kahol Levan leader Benny Gantz held a rally with supporters on Friday at Naharaim, known in Arabic as Bakura, in the Jordan Valley, calling for advancing stronger ties with Jordan. The borderland where they gathered is controlled by Jordan, but was leased by Israel for 25 years as part of the 1994 peace treaty. A clause in the treaty allowed Israel to retain use of the land, along with Sofa, another enclave in the southern Arava desert. The agreement is due to expire, and Jordan has announced that it does not intend to renew it. Naharaim is also known as the Isle of Peace, following a deadly March 1997 attack in which a group of schoolgirls from Beit Shemesh were fired upon during an outing to the area. The girls and their unarmed teachers were standing on a hill above an abandoned lake when a Jordanian soldier opened fire on them and killed seven of the schoolchildren. Following the attack, the late King Hussein of Jordan made an unprecedented trip to each of the victims' homes in Israel to express his personal sorrow and the grief of his nation. Critics of Prime Minister Netanyahu lay part of the blame for the failure to renew the lease on Prime Minister Netanyahu himself. Tensions between Israel and Jordan have mounted in recent years over such issues as the contested status of Jerusalem and its holy sites, stalled peace talks with the Palestinians, and the 2017 shooting of two Jordanian citizens by an Israeli embassy guard in Amman, which ignited a diplomatic crisis. During the election campaign, Netanyahu added to the tension when he pledged to annex the Jordan Valley if re-elected. 150 Israelis visited Naharaim yesterday. Site manager Shai Hadar said there's a sense that many Israelis want to take a last chance to visit. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called his Ethiopian counterpart Abiy Ahmed on Tuesday to congratulate him on winning the 2019 Nobel Peace Prize. The Ethiopian Prime Minister visited Israel last month and says that he admires the developments that have taken place in Israel in recent years. Ahmed invited Prime Minister Netanyahu to make an official visit to Ethiopia. Thousands of Israelis and supporters of the Jewish state from all over the world marched in Jerusalem on Thursday in the 64th Jerusalem March to mark the Sukkot holiday. Many of the foreign marchers belong to pro-Israel Christian evangelical groups. Visitors from dozens of countries marched through the city streets waving their national flags, among them Ghana, Brazil, China, Bulgaria, the Philippines, and Australia. This is Peter Jones-Pelech wishing SBS listeners Chag Sameach for Simchat Torah. All the best from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.